The Food and Drug Administration recently approved esketamine in nasal spray form to help treat major depression. And another fast-acting drug for postpartum depression has also been approved. It's administered via an IV. We're seeing a period in which a new class of antidepressant drugs known as NMDAs is being introduced, following SSRIs in the 1970s and SNRIs in the 1990s. To learn more about the impact of NMDAs and esketamine, I'm joined by Michael Thace. He's a psychiatry professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He has also received financial support from Janssen for research on esketamine. My first question, Michael, is what does all this mean?
This is exciting because the NMDA receptor is complex. It's got at least five different possible targets for engagement. Ketamine's a non-specific drug, and it affects four or five of those targets. But it means that maybe you could invent something, you could discover something that influenced the antidepressant effect without bringing along the intoxicating effect. And so this then creates the next decade. Now that a descendant of ketamine is coming to our everyday practice use, in the future it will be possible to take drugs that aren't direct descendants of ketamine but have some of the effects, and maybe you can uncouple the antidepressant effect from the intoxicating effect, so it wouldn't have to be a controlled substance.
Does this give the possibility that doctors can look at more specific symptoms to treat instead of overall depression, like certain drugs that could help the brain move away from more suicidal thoughts, or is that taking us down a different road?
Well, it's an interesting question, and indeed one of the best applications for this rapid antidepressant effect, because all of our other antidepressants that work through different mechanisms typically require a week or two or three or four or sometimes even six to exert their effects, because they mostly work through different chemical systems, the so-called monoamines, serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. And so, for example, if you are in suicidal crisis, obviously your doctor might want to start a standard antidepressant, but you've got no real realistic hope that standard antidepressant will be exerting a specific effect over the next week or two, during which, you've got a suicidal person who's in crisis and who's decided, life's not worth living. And so one potential implication for a rapidly acting treatment, even one that has some baggage, like being a controlled substance, might be to help people get out of suicidal crises. And indeed, although the Food and Drug Administration approved esketamine first for the treatment of difficult to treat or treatment resistant depression, there is another set of studies underway in patients who have intense suicidal ideation.
Esketamine is going to be administered nasally. The postpartum depression drug, which is going to be via an IV, is that something we should look for as well? Different forms, different ways of taking these different sorts of drugs?
Well, I guess I'm talking out of school here, but most of us psychiatrists aren't naturals at starting IVs, and our offices aren't set up for IV delivery of medication. And ketamine, as it's used currently in the 5 years or so before esketamine has come to market, is done in infusion centers where they typically have a nurse or maybe a physician's assistant and not typically an anesthesiologist, but someone who's good and comfortable and quick at getting an IV started. And then on occasion, if you can't get the IV started, you might substitute the medication for an IM injection, which doesn't have quite the same delivery of the medication, but in a pinch, it can do. The model for bringing esketamine to broader use was to not to give it by IV infusion, but to give it through intranasal delivery. And it's a intranasal delivery device in which with each kind of hefty squirt of medication into one or the other nostril, you're delivering between a quarter and a third of the total dose. So you go left nostril, right nostril, back to left over a few minutes. And of course, this means that you don't need to have the technical capability to install an IV. And there's a little less intensity of the drug experience. So although about a quarter of people will continue to have these sort of psychotomimetic or trippy kind of experiences. It's down from like 40 or 50% with the IV infusions.
When it comes to this class of drugs or prior classes of drugs, is there something that you'd consider to be a success rate?
Well, yeah, I think the basic metric is that all useful treatments of depression deliver between 10 to 20% over and above their placebo. If you have the good fortune to come into treatment early in the course of your illness and respond well to treatment, maybe your treatment had a 50% chance of success, but the placebo may have done 35% in that situation. And you yourself never know if you got better because you got the active drug or got the placebo. And all of us want to have a placebo response because that means we're relatively easier to treat and we have the ability to use hope and expectation as a way of mobilizing to get better. When people have not responded to three or four treatments, the placebo response typically falls down sometimes as low as 5 or 10%. And so you're still looking to see that real meaningful bump up over the placebo effect. But now you might be talking about 30% of people getting better as opposed to 50 or 60%. The kind of final arbiter for difficult to treat depression is electroconvulsive therapy. And in the modern era where this treatment is only used with the most difficult to treat patients, it typically gets about 50 to 60% of the patients really better. And so the closer you can come to 50 to 60%, the more exciting for the field it is. And in some of the ketamine studies and in some of the esketamine studies, the results are starting to approach that 50% mark, of course, without the baggage that ECT has.
That is Michael Fase. He's a psychiatry professor at the University of Pennsylvania.